Well, hello there, sir. Can you see me? Am
You
I moving?
paused. You like absolutely froze.
Crap. It says it's recording, but how do we know if it's actually working?
There you go. It's working now. Take a second.
It's just like lagging hardcore. Well, here we are. First video pod of our existence. Hopefully this goes well. Hopefully by the time that we push end recording, this all comes out well. Otherwise, it's for naught. But MD, this is episode 3 of season 2, and we're kind of close to each other. You're from a distance, social distance purposes, but we're actually in the same vicinity. It's kind of nice to see your face.
It's okay seeing yours.
Kind of smells worse than what I remember when we record remotely. So I don't know if that's you or me or the Panda Express sitting next to me, but
It
we
might be
did.
the, it's probably the combination of the panda of Taco Bell sitting next to you.
True. They are both sitting next to me. We kind of overindulged before this. So if there are any odd noises emerging from this conversation, it's hopefully just one of our stomachs and not something else. But yeah, I guess let's get into it, sir. Since we last talked, the Lakers have played a couple of games, and they even lost a couple of games, if I'm not mistaken. Can you bring us up to speed on what's been going on? If they've been playing well, if they've won, if they've lost, I may or may not have been keeping a close eye on the score. So curious what's going on, genuinely. Please fill me in.
So, in the past week, as we rounded out the end of January, there was a great matchup, and you and I actually watched this game together, or were chatting about it while it was going on. After LeBron James's homecoming against the Cleveland Cavaliers, where he scored 46 and just went off, we watched the end of the 76ers game the last time we recorded. Lakers lost by one. Great game, solid game, great comeback at the end. I remember we were down for a significant amount of the game, and then we had a small comeback towards the end. AD didn't have a great game, but you know what? I'll take that as the Sixers are playing really well this year, and they're aiming for the finals. So, no harm, no foul there. What I'm really concerned about was the next night, where we got blown out by the Detroit Pistons and the has-been. That is Blake Griffin, and that team in general blew us up. We lost by 15, 107-92. It was a heartbreaking loss. I was just like, oh man, I totally thought they would come out, guns blazing, especially after that close loss to the 76ers. But we didn't see that until the Lakers have had a 3-0 run, hopefully making it a 4-0 run as they're playing the Pistons currently, where they beat the Celtics. Always a great win. Hawks and Nuggets. They easily handled the Nuggets with a double digit win, almost a 20-point win, 114-93. The Hawks game was a really close game, closer than I thought it should be, but it was rounding out a long road trip, so I'll give them that. And to me, as whenever we win over the Celtics, whether it's by 1 point or 20 points, it's always a great game.
Agreed. Yeah, that loss to the Pistons was rough. Like you mentioned, the loss to the Sixers, it happens. You play against a good
Isn't
team
it
like
weird because
that.
we're like right next to each other? I kind of want to keep looking at you while I talk, but
I
we
know.
should
I don't
probably
know where to
look at the
look.
screen.
Do I look
Yeah,
at you? Do I look at the screen?
should probably look at the screen.
All right, fine. Fine. It's just hard not to look at you right there. The real thing is right there. And Miles is gonna burn this place to the ground, apparently. What are you doing? What is that?
I'm lighting a candle since we talked about it smelling
Oh
so
yeah.
great here.
Okay, thank you.
It's called Plant Zaddy.
I
Plant Zaddy. It smells so good, dude. Fir needle, sugar, and cedarwood all day, every day.
can't wait for that to make its way over here because it still smells like Panda. and Taco Bell. Panda. We may or may not have listened to that song on the way to get Panda.
Oh, we absolutely did.
It's pretty epic while we were deciding what to eat, and subliminally or not.
Speaking about listening to that song while we were driving and listening to it, we talked about how we heard it like pre-COVID and how we like sang it during our season one. Remember that? Yep. And we talked about how everything pre-COVID just seems so old school now, like outdated, how much COVID has made us like, it's a whole new era almost just because of COVID and how it's changed our lives so dramatically. It's crazy, dude.
Yeah, it feels like a lifetime ago that song came out, but really it was two years ago? Less than 2 years ago?
Yeah, like a year and a half ago.
I don't know. It just feels like forever ago. Because you're right. Anything before COVID feels like a lifetime ago. It feels like it was a different world, different universe, different existence entirely. Listening to that song kind of brought back some memories. Good times. Going back to kind of what's happened the last few games with the Lakers, I knew that the game against the Sixers was going to be close, especially when you have former teammates and Danny Green, Dwight Howard.
Both had great games.
Yeah, they both played well. You know that they're going to come out with an extra dose of energy to try and show why they should be missed, and they played well. So the Lakers dropped that one. It was a close one. I think we did record the night that they actually played that game, because that was when Tobias Harris hit that jumper to seal the victory for them. But yeah, the game where they dropped it to the Pistons, I was like, come on, man. Like, can't be dropping back-to-back games, let alone to the Pistons right after that. So it was good to see that after that, those back-to-back losses, the Lakers bounced back and won three games in a row, and two of them to really, really good teams, and the Celtics and then the Nuggets. And the Lakers did handle the Nuggets pretty handily. They won that one by double digits. And in between those two games, LeBron had that triple-double, which I think was against Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. Do you remember if it was Atlanta?
I don't.
I think it was, but LeBron's crazy, man. In year 18, to still be putting up a triple-double.
It was actually last game against the Nuggets.
Was it the Nuggets? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Insane, man. I think he got his 10th assist on a lob to AD. I remember seeing that like on House of Highlights. Absolutely incredible to see what Bron's doing in year 18. You know, I was kind of thinking about this, like, obviously Kobe is on another level in both of our minds as one of the greatest players to ever do it. And thinking about Kobe in year 18, he played 20 years, and obviously he had the Achilles injury, which made him a totally different player. But remembering what Kobe was at year 18 and seeing what LeBron is at year 18, it's insane, because you do see that father time starts to catch up with you in these waning years of your career. And healthy or not, even if Kobe didn't have that Achilles injury, it would be very, very tough to be able to put up a triple-double against a great opponent like the Nuggets, or to even be playing with the consistency that LeBron's playing with. I read an article the other day that LeBron's considered one of the front runners for the MVP. In year 18, he's considered one of the top players in the league still. That's crazy. So it's super, super cool to watch. I think we need to appreciate him to the fullest while he is playing, especially on the Lakers, because he's a very, very, sounds crazy and sounds dumb to even say it, but he's a generational talent, and we gotta appreciate him for sure.
I 100% agree with that statement. It is ridiculous. And I mean, it used to be the Kobe versus LeBron show, you know, and the hate there, like, oh, Kobe's better than LeBron. And not to say that, you know, maybe Kobe could have been putting up numbers year 18, knowing him and his drive and his technique, he would have found a way without that injury hampering him. At least I believe so. That being said, LeBron is a once in a generation talent, And speaking of once in a generation talent, the Super Bowl is tomorrow. And I know you and I talked about this, and there's a reason why LeBron and Tom Brady are close. It's because they are both have received so much hate. There's so much similarity to their numbers and to them being great throughout their career. Tom Brady is going to his 10th Super Bowl. LeBron's been to his 10th finals. Brady's won 6, LeBron won 4. It's crazy how similar their careers are. But that being said, who do you have for the Super Bowl tomorrow?
Ooh, getting straight to it, right to the prediction. I'm going with the Bucks, man. I want the Bucks to win. I'm going to be asking that they win. T's showed up in the background, special appearance. I don't know. I think the Chiefs are the better team all around. Super dynamic. They can put up 50 points if they, you know, if some things break right for them, and they'd make it look easy. You have one of the best players already to ever play in Mahomes. Like, he's super young and he's already got to be one of the best players to ever play for sure.
Yeah. Like, easy.
It's crazy to say that because he's only been in the league for, you know, a few years, but he is. Like, the things that he can do is insane. But long story short, give me the Bucks. I think that Brady's going to have a comeback win. Put me on the record right now. It comes down to a final drive. Brady ends up winning it in OT.
In OT?
I think this goes to OT.
You think the Bucks defense is able to stop Patrick Mahomes?
I think so. I think they'll do it. This is what I think is going to happen. I'm going to lay out my whole narrative. The Bucks are going to come out hot. They're going to go up by a touchdown or two early. And the Chiefs will start to come back and they'll force overtime. And then Brady and the Bucks will end up winning in OT. That is my prediction. How about you, sir? What do you got happening in that game?
Being the Chargers fan that I am and seeing Patrick Mahomes twice a year for every single year he's been in the league, I have to pick the Chiefs, and I am my divisional rival. And of course I don't want to pick them, but I have to. Patrick Mahomes is the new guard, and everyone loves this, like, because it's old guard versus new guard, who's coming in, and he's it. He is the new Tom Brady. Like, everyone knows for the next 10 to 12 years, if Patrick Mahomes stays healthy, he stays strong, takes care of his body, is going to be amazing. He is going to be the next Tom Brady, if there's ever a Tom Brady, or he'll be his own Patrick Mahomes. And he doesn't need help to do it. He led the team himself to the Super Bowl last time. It wasn't like, yes, he has great players on his team, but it was all Patrick Mahomes. And these comeback wins over and over and over again, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's the tools they have. It's Andy Reid. They are amazing. They've been there before. I think the Bucks are going to get shocked. And my prediction is it may be neck and neck. First half will be competitive. Second half, Chiefs are just going to run away with it because they've been there, done it before. And while, yes, Tom Brady's been there and done it before, that's not the entire Bucks organization. Yes, Bruce Arians has, but the rest of the players are relatively new. Mike Evans, did you see him? He didn't even know, like, oh, how do I celebrate an NFC championship? How do I do that? He got lost. So it just shows to me how new they are to all of this. And I think they're going to get starstruck a little bit. They're not going to have, yes, Tom Brady's great, but I don't think he's going to be great enough now to rally the troops. But that being said, just making it to a Super Bowl at his age is huge, and it is something to be celebrated.
It'd be interesting to see. You know what I'm excited to see? I'm excited to see the halftime show. And
The Weeknd is going to be so good.
Big fan of The Weeknd. And did you see that he put up a bunch of his own money to make the halftime show?
No.
So I forget how many like million it was, but he put up at least a couple million, maybe even like up to $10 million or something like that, something crazy, of his own money to put the Super Bowl halftime show together because he says he wants it to be must-see TV. So you know it's going to be good because already when I saw it was going to be the weekend, I was hyped.
Put in $7 million of his
own money. $7 million, there you go.
That is crazy.
Right? So you know it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So I'm super stoked, man. I'm excited for that.
So. It's going to be so. It's like, remember, I don't even remember the Super Bowl game it was, but the Bruno Mars halftime show.
Yes.
It was the Bruno Mars concert with the Super Bowl game. Like, everyone says that. And it's not a joke because it was so good. Like, that's what people were talking about. And I think if it ends up being this close, oh man, this will be great entertainment tomorrow. It'll be a Super Bowl we've needed too. We haven't had, competitive Super Bowls have been few and far between. So I'm excited for a really competitive game, a great game with an amazing halftime.
For sure. For sure. Any predictions on which company will have the best Super Bowl commercial?
So being in advertising myself, I've attended a lot of different like conferences and virtual. What are they called now? Not TED Talks, guys. My brain is farting so bad right now.
The Taco Bell is coming out through
your brain. The Taco Bell is coming out through my brain. What is it? Talks, not podcasts, but when someone holds like a virtual event and everyone attends, webinar. Oh my gosh. I've attended plenty of webinars being in advertising about Super Bowl, and how many of the big advertisers have stepped out of the game this year and have decided not to spend money just because they think it's better served elsewhere, or now people are realizing like yes, it's memorable, but it doesn't show as much of an impact as other ways of advertising does, or people see the same, like everyone's excited about the Super Bowl ads, but then those Super Bowl ads run for the rest of the month. So it's like, what does that mean? You know, like everyone's going to remember it. Everyone's going to see it sometime. But I just thought that was crazy. The marketing nerd in me was like, wow. So there's a big change in the way people are buying advertising.
Interesting. So does that mean that you said that there's less companies that are...
Coke isn't doing anything. Like,
really?
Major brands aren't spending money. I don't really think Doritos is doing something. Whoa. Like, some of these huge brands are like, nope. I think that's partially because they've seen a drip in sales because of COVID, maybe, like a hurt in business. But also, I think companies are realizing, like, the Super Bowl part of it, like, it's just one game at the end of the day. Like, there are definitely ways to reach the same amount of people.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that for sure. It's an insane amount of money to spend on a 30-second spot in the Super Bowl. Do you know how much it is? I remember looking it up a couple of years ago, and I cannot remember.
It varies.
Yeah.
It obviously increases, but for like a 15-second spot, it was like 20 mil, or no, 2 mil for like a 30. Like a 15-second spot, like how many 15-second spots commercials are there in the Super Bowl? So many. So each 15-second was like 2 mil or something. It's crazy.
I think sometimes the terrible Super Bowl commercials stand out in some cases more than the good ones, because afterwards, I can't help but think they spent $20 million on that ad and it was terrible. Like, I feel like I would be so disappointed if I was like a marketing manager, or forget a marketing manager, maybe someone who wasn't as involved in the Super Bowl ad. If you're like, I don't know, some executive, and then you watch it, you're like
chief marketing officer, and you're like, this is what we spend our money on.
Yeah, guys. This was it. That was it. We couldn't have done something better. Oh man. But yeah, so got to look out for those Super Bowl ads. I'm going to predict, I mean, I don't know if they're still making an ad now that you mentioned how some companies aren't in it, but I'm going to say Budweiser has the best commercial. They always have some good ones. And, you know, recently, in the past couple of years, I want to say they've had some like semi-emotional advertisements in the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know if I'm remembering it correctly, if it was Budweiser or not, but I remember there was one commercial that had like a dog involved in it, and it was like really emotional. And I don't know, like the dog was lost or something and somehow it found its owner again. I got to look it up and then I'll have to like show it to you later. But it was something that like made me want to cry watching it. And I was like, wow, that was really good. And I feel like I'm going to cry now, but this is weird because usually I'm expecting to laugh, but it ended up being like one of the best commercials that year.
You sure it wasn't like a Christmas time one? They always have like the Christmas time ones that are sad. Like remember the Christmas time one with all the horses and stuff? Do you remember that? All those like big horses in the snow.
The Clydesdales? The
Clydesdales, yes. I forget. There was like a dog with that one as well. But anything with a dog, and yeah. Usually it's a golden retriever or a Labrador,
yeah.
That gets you going. Yeah, I mean, they know.
They know. They know. Anything dog, I'm a sucker for that. And I think most people are, you know. It's like, oh, why is the dog got to be lost? Why has he got to be sad? But if it's like, you know, like a human, you feel indifferent sometimes. And it's like, something's wrong. You know, I need to.
Forget that lost kid, whatever. Yeah, like, where's his mom? What is his mom doing?
Like Channel 7 News has like a quick little like blip in the middle of the Super Bowl, like coming up after the game, like the search for this child continues. And you're like, oh, get back to the game. And then it's like a dog commercial that's not even real. You're like sobbing and like, they gotta find his owner. Like, yeah, there's something definitely wrong with that. But dogs, they have a special place in our heart. And yeah, so anyways, I gotta look up that commercial because I really want to remember it now. Anyways, so you got the Chiefs tomorrow. I got the Bucks. Should we make a friendly wager on this? What do we have on the line?
I think you still owe me 10 spicy nugs. So
do I owe you? I do. You're right.
You owe me 10 spicy nugs without ranch.
You're right. Okay. So this will be in addition. So for sure, I'm going to eat 10 spicy nugs. We're kind of trying out this video thing for the first time. The next video pod that we do, which should be next week, I will eat 10 spicy nugs while we're recording so that you can see it. Whoever the viewers are out there can watch me eat it with no ranch. And it's a big deal because, like I mentioned in the last pod, eating only spicy nuggets consecutively kind of makes me a little nervous. I get the sweats on the back of my head, and I like to mix up my nuggets with spicy and regular for a nice balance. So putting 10 spicy nuggets into my body consecutively will be interesting and will be a challenge. So yes, I will pay off my debt though next week for sure. But what do we want to wager for the Super Bowl then, since I'm going with the Bucks and you're going with the Chiefs?
Do you want to just make it double or nothing?
Double. Okay. So double or nothing, meaning if I'm understanding you correctly, 20 spicy nuggets are on the line for one of us, and whoever is the winner will not have to eat one spicy nugget. Is that correct?
I think it means since you are double, like basically if you, no, it's not double or nothing technically, because I will, like if you win, then I have to eat 10 spicy nugs with you. So then we'll both have to eat 10 spicy nugs.
Okay.
Makes sense?
It makes sense. It does. All right. Fair enough. I accept these terms. Man, but if I have to eat 20 spicy nuggets, man, in one sitting, you're going to have to light more than one candle. I'll tell you that right now.
I think I'm going to have to put you like in the bathroom or something.
You're going to have to light this birthday cake candle in addition. This is funny, man. I don't even, what is this? It does smell really good. It smells like
a birthday cake. It's
like frosting. It smells like good times. Ah, good stuff. All right, moving from the Super Bowl, something else I want to talk about in this pod before we wrap up and then preview the upcoming week for the Lakers is the All-Star Game return. So the first All-Star Game return for the voting came back. And I'm interested to get both your take and also give my analysis on it a little bit also, because I think there are some pretty shocking names that were left off and also some shocking names that are at the very top of the list. So let's get into that right now. So let's see here. I have it pulled up. The Western Conference returns for the All-Star Game, top 10 I'm just going to read off the names real quick here. LeBron James, obviously, number one vote getter so far in the West. The Joker, number two. Kawhi, AD, Paul George, Zion Williamson, Andrew Wiggins, Christian Wood, Brandon Ingram, Carmelo Anthony. And you know what? As I was reading that, I just realized this isn't overall for the West. That's just the front court. So I wonder if I can narrow this down. Do you have it pulled up on your side that just has the total NBA?
I do. So I can read you the top 10 right now.
The link I brought up was what?
It's LeBron, Steph, Jokic, Doncic, Kawhi, Dame, or excuse me, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Dame, Paul George, Zion, Wiggins, surprisingly, Andrew Wiggins, then Ja. Oh, Wiggins, Christian Wood. What?
Wow, Christian Wood.
That's crazy. So that's Christian Wood, then Ja. What?
That's crazy. I almost feel so. I noticed that also when I was looking at it earlier. I almost feel like Houston Rockets fans are determined to get a player on the team because James Harden's left. Like they want to rally around someone so bad, other than James Harden, that they're just voting like crazy. I don't know. That's my theory on it, but it's crazy to see Christian Wood above Ja Morant.
Yeah, we'll see if that. I think that'll curtail as more people realize, because I didn't even know voting was open, let alone that the All-Star game was going to happen. You had to tell me after we picked up dinner. Like, that's crazy that it's going to happen. Yeah. But now that we know it's going to happen, I think people are going to start voting, and I'm sure it's going to change, and people are going to realize who's who and who they can vote for, and it'll normalize.
True. Yeah, I was mentioning to you, I don't have the quote verbatim pulled up in front of me, but LeBron actually responded to the news that the All-Star game is going to happen, and he was very disappointed in it. Like he actually vocalized and was public about thinking that it shouldn't happen at all, which isn't a very unpopular opinion. Obviously, like there's still a pandemic going on around us. Just because the NBA is happening doesn't mean that there's the pandemic's gone away. So it's not an unpopular opinion. But for the NBA's, the face of the NBA to publicly question the NBA even hosting the All-Star game whatsoever, that's pretty crazy. So I'm interested to see how the league responds to that, if they try and alter how they conduct the All-Star game, if they make any adjustments, if they try and give more specifics on how it's going to be safe and handled. But yeah, the league came out saying that they're going to have an All-Star game, and then their best player came out and questioned it shortly after. So it's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Any other names on those returns that stand out to you other than Christian Wood?
For the East, for the West Coast, not really. All these are like standard names I'd see on there. I'd love, big shout out to B.I. being on there. Brandon Ingram, one of the kids, you know, growing up. Love that he's on there. Another name that actually pops up. Do you see this all the way at the bottom? Klay Thompson, 99,000 votes.
I see that.
That is crazy. And that is hilarious. But I'm glad he's still getting recognition. I don't know why Carmelo's on there. I get it. You know, he's been actually playing pretty well, but he's not an all-star anymore.
Yeah, I think some people fill out these ballots and they have no idea what's actually happening in the league. I'm sure there are Klay Thompson stands out there that will just vote for him no matter what. But the guy is not even playing this season, and he's getting enough votes to be one of the top all-star vote receivers in the conference. And I think that's the same for like Carmelo Anthony. Yeah, he's playing well, but to be playing well enough to be top 10 in the front court in the West, debatable.
Debatable for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Someone else that stands out to me is Zion being sixth in front court voting for the West. I almost thought that he, I mean, you know, to be honest, like, now that I'm looking at it, seeing who's ahead of him, I think that's about right. I thought maybe he would get a little bit more bumped up there because this is fan voting and, you know, people love seeing the Zion highlights. And I'd be interested to see, I was interested to see if fans would vote for him more than he actually deserves and maybe bumped him up higher than maybe even an AD or a Kawhi. But I think he's right where he should be because he has LeBron, the Joker, Leonard, AD, and Paul George all ahead of him, mm-hmm. which makes sense. Those guys are like locks for the All-Star game. And then he's ahead of guys like Wiggins, Christian Wood, Brandon Ingram, and Carmelo Anthony. I think you could swap. I don't even know. I was thinking maybe you could swap Zion and Brandon Ingram in their spots as far as who's more deserving. Because I feel like B.I. is...
100%. I was about to say that too.
Yeah.
If this wasn't fan voted, B.I. is definitely carrying more of the weight for New Orleans than Zion is. Zion's just the more recognizable name. His dunks, YouTube fandom before he got into the league, you know?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Want to move over to the East Coast, Eastern Conference?
Yeah, go ahead and read it off.
So in first, we have Kevin Durant. Second, Giannis. In third, we have Joel Embiid. Fourth is Bradley Beal. Well-deserving, by the way, about
yes.
time. Next is Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Zach LaVine, well-deserved, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Trey, Colin Sexton, a little surprising, Domantas Sabonis, then we have Derrick Rose, Julius Randle, Russell Westbrook, Gordon Hayward, Jeremy Grant, and Ben Simmons. I don't think James Harden deserves to be in the All-Star game. He's played like 5 games in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, not very
much. I mean, I get it. He's going to be like an All-Star. He's an All-Star talent, and he'll probably still get in. But like, for how much and how well he's played in Brooklyn, I don't know. Kyrie, to me, doesn't deserve it. He's played like 7 games the entire season. It's just because he's in Brooklyn and New York, you know, that he's there. Beal deserves it. KD, yes. KD's having a monster season coming back from that injury. Giannis, of course. Joel Embiid has been playing out of his mind. I think we're finally seeing, at least from the 76ers, who's the alpha on that team, and it's Joel Embiid. Yep. For a long time, we didn't know who was going to be the alpha between Ben Simmons and Embiid, and now we know the more valuable of the two is Embiid. He's doing it all and carrying that team. Tatum, Jaylen Brown, both deserve it. 1-2 punch in Boston. I think they're having the same issue that the Sixers were having of who's going to be the alpha now because Jaylen Brown's been playing. The media says Tatum in the locker room and within the team. I'm curious who they say and like who really takes over the game and steps it up. Zach LaVine has been playing lights out. Like he should be where Kyrie Irving is, the way he's playing basketball. It is ridiculous how well he's been playing. And then my last call out will be for good old Laker Julius Randle, lucky lefty. My game and Julius Randle's game are very similar, so he has a special place in my heart.
Yeah, man, you are Julius Randle. Whenever I play against you, I get bruises. I feel like I'm trying to stop a freight train half of the time when you come in and doing your.
We're both left-handed. It's crazy.
It is crazy. What do you think the odds are? Okay, if you had to place a $100 bet, would you bet that all 3 Brooklyn Nets stars are going to be starters for the East when it's all said and done with the voting? Kyrie, KD, and James Harden, are they starting or are one of them or 2 of them coming off the bench?
I think 2 of the 3 are going to start. I don't know, especially with Bradley Beal playing lights out. And Bradley Beal has become like the golden boy on the East Coast, you know, like you'll see his posts all over Instagram of like Beal dropped 35, 46 and 37 in all the Washington Wizards games and they all lost, you know, like you'll see those posts constantly. Everyone has been feeling bad for Bradley Beal. So I actually think he might make it as a starter this season, this year for an All-Star game, and well overdue. He should have been an All-Star a long time ago. So for him to be a starter, finally, for him to be an All-Star, like you can't complain. This guy should have been an All-Star the last few years, a few more, like two, three times easy.
Yeah. So it kind of seems like he's riding Beal, that is riding like a wave of sympathy votes. Mm-hmm. Like people are like, we all know he's good. He's been phenomenal for a while now, but I feel like even more so recently, which is why we're seeing him as one of the, I think he's the number one guard.
He is
leader, right in the East.
Yep.
Like over Kyrie, like that says something and he deserves it, no doubt. But I feel like people are much more apt to vote for him right now because his team is absolute garbage and his team is just not doing him any favors. Mm-hmm. And I will say just kind of like as a side note, I don't really have too much sympathy for Beal right now. He signed the massive contract. He locked himself in. He could have left if he wanted to. Obviously there are probably some commitments and promises from the front office that maybe they're not living up to that helped him to sign his contract. But I mean, that was his decision. He could have walked away if he wanted to.
I think the sympathy comes from he signed, I think either a year after or a year before John Wall signed that massive extension as well. So that was the big issue. Like everyone thought they'd be a great big 1-2 punch for the rest of, you know, their careers there, that they developed there, that they're just one piece away. Then John Wall had that terrible injury and that kind of just threw everything awry, you know. So much money was locked into John Wall and Bradley Beal. There was no way to develop anyone. They had got rookies, but then even a lot of the rookies, because Beal played well, they're still like middle of the pack. They didn't draft too well. It was just, I mean, you can feel bad for the guy, but at the same time, he's making hundreds of millions of dollars. Like he's going to be all right. Like it's not the end of the world for this guy.
Of course. I mean, anytime we're feeling quote unquote sympathy for these players who are making millions and millions of dollars for playing basketball, like the word sympathy is used very lightly, obviously. Speaking of the Wizards, a name that we don't see on the returns at all, Russell Westbrook. Are we going to see him crack the top 10 in the vote getters for the East, do you think? Or are people done with Westbrook?
He has been playing well.
Actually, he did. Sorry, I take that back. He did barely crack the top 10 in guards for...
Right above Ben Simmons, who I am surprised, and I think people are realizing, unless Ben gets a shot, he's peaked. They've seen enough of Ben Simmons. They're falling out of love with him. That being said, I think Russell Westbrook, like he's always been a big energy guy and big like effort guy. But his fundamentals were never truly there. And now that he's aging and his athleticism is starting to fade, it's even more prominent now than ever. You know what I mean? Like the reason why Jordan and even LeBron are able to have and Kobe were able to have such lengthy careers was because they practiced their footwork, their shots. They learned all of them. The reason why, and Kobe learned this from a lot from Jordan, and Jordan learns from Olajuwon. The reason why they're able to stay in the league long and stay effective was they all learned how to post up. They all learned fancy footwork. They all learned how to get easy buckets down in the post and to be more efficient and effective with their touches. And I don't think Wes has seen that yet. He plays the exact same way he's played since he was in OKC.
Yes.
Just crazy, all balls out. Like he's going down. Like him and Colin, I mean, I'm seeing Colin Sexton, two names above him, and I'm like, I compare them to each other. They just go at it, like everything on the line, and you love that. But at the same time, that is going to, and it's rightfully so in the middle, going to wreck their bodies. And that's why they'll have to either change their games and hopefully, you know, get better and learn the fundamentals and pick their spots when to go so hard, so they don't damage their body. But we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. I think the narrative on Westbrook is on a very steep decline, especially now that he has teamed up with Beal. And the flip side of the coin of Beal getting the sympathy votes is people are probably upset with Westbrook that this is what, his third team now? Is this Westbrook's third team? Because he was on OKC, then he went to Houston, and now he's on Washington. And all three teams, there were at some points, at some point there was friction with Westbrook being too much. And with someone like Beal, people have been feeling for him. And the other side of it now is that, hey, like, we're like, Westbrook is someone who just can't get it done. And
yeah, can't get over the hump.
Can't get over the hump. And not only is the team bad, they're one of the absolute worst teams in the whole league. So there's a difference between, you know, not being able to make it over the hump and just being a flat out detriment to the team. And I think that's what Westbrook is showing that he is right now for Washington. Like, he should be complimenting Beal, but he's not. He's actually bringing the team down. And obviously we don't follow the team that closely, but to have a former MVP player in Westbrook teaming up with Beal, like,
you'd expect more.
You'd expect a lot more. And I feel for Beal because the poor guy is still sitting in the bottom of the Eastern Conference with the former MVP. So, yeah, the outlook for Westbrook isn't looking great. And the returns in the All-Star voting are reflecting that, as he's barely making it into the top 10 returns for the guards. Anyway, so that's the All-Star returns. We'll have to dissect that some more as more returns come back. I think there's going to be a lot of shifting and changing of what actually happens. And who knows what actually ends up happening with the league too, if they make some changes to what happens on All-Star weekend. So let's wrap this up, MD. Don't want to go too long here. Upcoming Lakers schedule. So tonight they played the Pistons again. They're playing, they have three more games left in their homestand, quote unquote homestand.
We need to bounce. This Lakers Pistons game just went to OT.
Oh, snaps. What's the score?
118-118. End of OT one. It's going to double OT. All right, guys. All right,
yeah, we got to wrap this up.
We'll see you guys later. The Lakers have back-to-backs. Thunder at home. They're on a home streak after this long road trip. Should be easily winnable games, both Thunder, then Grizzlies, and then they play the Nuggets again, but they're starting another road trip. Nuggets, T-Wolves. I think the Lakers, these are all winnable games. I don't think they're going to win them all, but they're all winnable games for sure. I think the Nuggets are going to come out trying to prove themselves, but this home stretch, I think we go 3-0.
Okay. Give me 2-1. I'm going to say Lakers drop the
Middle Thunder game.
The Middle Thunder game.
Yep.
Win, loss, win. Put me down for it. We'll start keeping tally of this so we can keep track of our records here. All right. So that'll do it for us. Thanks everyone for joining in. First video episode of the pod. Hope it went well. Hope this plays back well. Let's go watch this double OT game. Go Lakers.
Go Lakers.